Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I want to. I'm on a kick. I'm on a journey, I guess. And whenever I get on a mission, a journey, it's always exciting for me. I don't know if it gets exciting for anybody else. But we had earlier this year. We had a special weekend that we dedicated to the Lord and had some great ministry, and the Holy Spirit showed up and did a lot of things. And since I don't know what everybody believes this morning, I'm just going to tell you what I believe. And if you disagree with me, it's okay. It's okay. But I want to talk about something that's somewhat controversial in Christianity. But those of you that have experienced what I've been want to talk to you about are going to already be ahead of me by a long shot as I explain and share some of these things that I want to share with you. But I think one of the things that we have, for a few weeks, we have lived off the momentum of what we've experienced in that special weekend that we set apart. I hope that hasn't waned in your heart and you hasn't faded in your walk. I'm trusting God is still blessing you after that weekend. But I know, as God knows and the Bible declares and you have experienced, we can experience something wonderful one day, and 2 weeks later, we've just about forgotten it. Okay, you and I are on the same page. And one of the reasons I mention that is because I think God designs it, believe it or not. That sounds a little negative, but I think God designs people. I think we have been designed to be just that way. Because I don't think our relationship and our walk with Jesus Christ and our experiences with Him should be kept in just one single experience with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking that you walk with Jesus Christ with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, as He suggests we do, in fact requires we do, that you will be experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ in different ways and God's blessings in your life and the move of the Holy Spirit in your life, different ways all throughout the rest of your life. I don't think it is only one experience that we experience in Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts. And those of you that are running ahead of me already have this memorized. I'm going to read it for those who may not necessarily have it memorized. And I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's almost Christmas. We're supposed to be talking about the advent of Jesus Christ into this world, that God, fully God and fully man, was born to secure our salvation, and that through Him by faith we might be born again and enter into heaven and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Man, that sounds good, doesn't it? But that is not all that God has for us. And for those of you that are already a little bit ahead of me, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me read the scripture. Otherwise, I'll talk an hour and then read the scripture and then talk another hour and a half. So let me just go to chapter 2, book of Acts, the first chapter, first verse through the fourth verse. And if you've read the book of Acts, it's probably a pretty standout verse for you. And when the day of Pentecost, so one of the Jewish feasts, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now who? Who are all? Well, it's the 120 that went into the upper room as Jesus commanded them to. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. That's just special effects right there, isn't it? I mean, that's just like a modern movie. We should write a movie about this and have great special effects. And so this cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whichever you prefer, and began to speak with other tongues as that same Spirit gave them utterance or began to speak through them. Now, we're talking about something different here, aren't we? We're talking about something I think is special. I think it's dynamic. I think it's the lifeblood of your Christian walk. And I think it's the lifeblood of any modern church. I think the Holy Spirit is well aware of what people need in any given church. And by the way, the Holy Spirit shows up to churches that don't even believe in Him. You know that, don't you? Because nobody can come to know God, know Jesus or know God, unless that same Holy Spirit draws them. And so you may not believe in what I'm about to share with you, but this is a Spirit-filled, Pentecostal, carpet-chewing, chair-kicking, roly-rolling church. And I know that they don't seem that way sometimes. They seem to be kind of going along at a certain lick, but I want you to understand that God's Spirit operates in this church. And I want to describe that, and I want to explain that, and I want to show you your need for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those of you that have already experienced that, you're probably way ahead of me. But I want to share with those who may have been here last week and heard the last week's message. I was talking about prayer. I was talking about reactive prayer, and I was talking about proactive prayer. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. I just want to refresh you in what the subject matter was last week, because I think it's very important that be somewhat of a foundation for what I want to share, because I think what I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit magnifies that. It magnifies proactive prayer. And in fact, I'm beginning to lean toward that idea that we don't even know proactive prayer, although the concept was shared with you last week, but we don't even know it fully until we understand the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll share that with you, the information about that, but I want to focus you on the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe by the end of this message, you'll be encouraged to, at minimum, seek that. But at maximum, even receive it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Cloven tongues of fire, wind blowing through here, and people doing things that are just crazy and wild. Wouldn't that be something? Some of you would never come back again. But I want to show you the importance of this in your life. And there's a statement made by John the Baptist when he was ministering and praying for people, and he was baptizing them in the Jordan River. And he made a statement along the lines of, "I baptize you in water unto repentance." Now, you need to understand what that means. Now, this is John the Baptist, not Jesus Christ. And so let me kind of tie them together here and not take too long doing it. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the one that's setting the tone and the foundation. And so he was preaching and baptizing people in the Jordan River. Now, that in and of itself was not a dynamic thing. People were being baptized all the time in Jerusalem and Judea and all around. All the Jewish people knew very well what baptisms were. When you baptize yourself, it's kind of like you going to the Lord and asking Him to forgive you and that I've sinned, and Lord, forgive me for this or whatever. But John the Baptist was different because he was ordained by the Holy Spirit to do a special work, and that was to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and in the symbolically an Elijah, a power man of God. And while he's baptizing people, of course, the Holy Jesus Christ comes to him to be baptized at one point, and here's Jesus Christ, the perfect man, never sinned, and really doesn't need baptism, because baptism is not something you do that saves you, because you're not saved by any kind of works. It's something you do to acknowledge something has happened to you right down here in your heart, and that Jesus Christ has saved you and done something marvelous in your life and turned you all around. And let me tell you, some of you needed to be turned around. Amen? And I'm one of them. But my point is, he makes a really cool statement. I baptize you indeed with water unto repentance. Repentance is the first thing that we must do in order to know Jesus Christ and all of His blessings. Amen? And receive eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the very basic foundation of Jesus Christ. But He said there's going to be one coming after Him that would baptize in the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, this is where people have a lot of trouble. No, I don't, but a lot of people that don't believe what I'm about to share with you, they have a lot of trouble because they don't understand what the Holy Spirit's mission and work was to do. While Jesus was on earth, he was the power of God in personified. And the works that he did were marvelous, healing people, opening blinded eyes, walking on water, calming the sea, doing all the things that God does on a regular basis. You know, God just does miracles all the time. And Jesus was doing that. And the Holy Spirit, of course, had come upon him and anointed him. So it was the full power of God on display, though it took faith to believe that and to see that. You see, until you have been awakened or birthed spiritually, you can't understand the things of God. You don't know what's happening. Some person down here flopping like a fish on a hot dock. You're wondering, what in the world's happening to that crazy person, man? I don't want to be near any of that stuff. But there's just something nagging about that. Something's happening to that person. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of drawing me to it. What's that all about? Really, we don't always. I've done it. I've rolled on the floor for you just to show you it could be done. But what happened in Jesus' life ended when he rose from the dead and ascended to the Father. Amen? And then he told, in that process, prior to crucifixion and all that, he spoke to his disciples and he said, hey, go and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me there's something more happening. Amen? If I know Jesus Christ, and there's 120 of them that listened to him and obeyed him, and if I know Jesus Christ, and he's telling me to go do something and experience this, and it's biblical. Certainly the basis of our faith is in the Bible. And he tells us to go and tarry and wait for the promise from on high, or promise from the Father. And he's talking about what's going to happen in the chapter I just read for you. That's what he was talking about. Go up there and wait and tarry until this event takes place. Now, I don't know how long they're up there, a couple days, whatever it was. But they're up there and they're waiting and they're tarrying. And I don't know about you, but I know people. If I don't keep something happening here all the time, you're about to go to sleep or you're about to slip out the back door because you got to have something to entertain you. Amen? Short-term memory loss. Anybody from the 60s? We need some activity. Keep our, you know, our brain firing and all that kind of stuff. And so they're waiting up there. And this dynamic thing takes place, this awesome thing takes place. They can't fully, they're using human terms to describe something very spiritual happening. The Holy Spirit, Advent, it's his time to minister. In the Old Testament, the Father was the focus. In the New Testament, Jesus was the focus. And, of course, the advent of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. That begins a story of how the church was ministering in the early days of the church. And so, this dynamic, wonderful, awesome thing takes place, man. I can't think of better special effects. Rushing wind or something like a, sounded like a wind. And then these things that look like fire on my head. And then all of a sudden they begin to speak with other tongues. And that's something that people are confused about too and don't understand what it's all about. And I'm going to try to explain that to you here in a second. And these people are speaking in other tongues. Some of them are speaking in tongues that people outside understood that was their home language. But there was also a Holy Ghost tongue being spoken that nobody understood. And nobody understood a word of it, but God understood everything that they were saying and was being prayed through them as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. As the Holy Spirit spoke through them, they were using a language that, let me clarify this for you. The people that were speaking in tongues didn't know what in the heck they were saying. Amen? The people around them, they were being blessed and anointed if they could understand it, but there was some tonguing going on that they didn't understand. And that was because the Holy Spirit was speaking God's language through them and was proclaiming his advent into their lives. Now, I want you to understand something. The Church of God believes in something, and I personally believe it because I experienced it. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just like any other act that God has ever done. He has always announced it prior to the experience. Well, Jesus has been teaching his disciples this all along his ministry. And as he sent them out, they were anointed by the Holy Spirit and they did the things that God or Jesus sent them to do, and they worked miracles because the Holy Spirit was upon them. Is that making any sense to anybody? And so I want to explain some things to you. What happened on the day of Pentecost was promised way back in Isaiah and promised in Joel. When he talks about the Spirit of God being poured out upon everyone, handmaidens and so forth, old men. Well, I remember the old men part now, the dreams, because I take naps quite a bit anymore. But young men would see visions. And you know, when a young man sees a vision, he wants to get that vision accomplished. Amen? And so you're hearing about the motivation, different motivations. Older, experienced guys, they will dream dreams. They will remember what happened in the days when God's Spirit used to come upon them. And now the young men are getting it and seeing it. And the next generation is getting the moving of the Holy Spirit passed on to them. And you and I are experiencing today, this morning, this very morning, if you sensed a little something different, didn't know what it was, but it was good, that was the presence of the Holy Spirit ministering to your life. And so you and I have experienced what has been passed down from the day of Pentecost right on down to us, the presence and the experiencing of the Holy Spirit. And what happens to Christians sometimes, or those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they need a refreshing now and then. They just need to get knocked down once in a while to refresh them in the things of the Holy Spirit, because we tend to forget. And so you have churches that exist today who once were prolific in following this kind of a message and blessing. And now today have relegated the moving of the Holy Spirit to maybe we'll go into the prayer room and pray about it. I'm against that. I'm against it altogether. I am for all that God can do and wants to do. Amen. Even if you're a fanatic, go for it until I tell you to shut up, okay? But at least you're trying to follow the Holy Spirit. And it wouldn't hurt some of you to get a little fanatical. Amen? Yeah, it wouldn't hurt for you to get the Holy Ghost all over you and you begin to praise Him and prophesy and speak in tongues and do all kinds of wondrous things. But I want to explain some things to you. On the day of Pentecost, that was the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit infilling people's lives, baptizing them, immersing them in the Holy Spirit. And where there's a lot of confusion is some people who have received Jesus Christ have this big question, well, did I receive the baptism of the Spirit at that time? No, you did not. You could have. I had a friend who received the salvation and the baptism in the same night. And here's a kid that didn't know anything about church, period. Am I making sense? And so what was happening in his life was, he was in the same boat I was at. We were at the pastor's house. He began to pray and flopped over on the floor like that, which was pretty common to our church in Reno, because we've been slain in the Spirit before. The Holy Ghost had come down in the church, and everybody was being affected, and everybody reacted differently. Some were praying. Some were glorifying God out loud, very loud, and some people were crying. All kinds of different emotions were taking place. Why? Because we're emotional people. And oh, by the way, God has emotions. God knows how to love. Amen? And so that's an emotion if you don't realize that. And so God knows what we're made up, and He made us, so He knows how to minister into our lives. And I'm not encouraging you to be a fanatic and to flop on the dock, you know, none of that stuff. What I am encouraging you is let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Amen? And so what happened on the day of Pentecost was the initial evidence of that. And that was the identifying experience of what the Holy Spirit does when He comes into people's lives. Amen? Let me ask you something. When you got saved, that's church language, when you were born again, that's Bible language, when you were born again, did you experience anything? Did you have an emotional response to that? Did you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit to minister to your life? Because salvation is not accomplished by Christ. Salvation, the work of salvation, is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Holy Spirit baptizes us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to do all the works of grace in your life. Does anybody need any grace in your life? Praise God for the grace of the Lord. That's where He helps us get past the things that we do that are not pleasing to Him. Amen? And so on that day, that's the signature experience. Well, anybody who then you would assume, I mean, this is logical thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but and if you don't believe this, that's fine. It's not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't believe what I'm sharing with you. But it's sure going to open up a real cool thing if you've never experienced it and you want to experience it. And so let me share with you some explanation. There's a book in the Bible, the book of Corinthians, that talks a great deal about the Holy Spirit's working in the church and in an individual life for that matter. Because when He speaks to the church, He's speaking to you, an individual. Making sense? And so when He makes a declaration or He's administering some gift or operation or something, He is doing so for the benefit of the church. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, how do you know that? Well, if you follow biblical pattern, you don't have to know that. The Holy Spirit will let you know that. And one of the ways he does that is speaking in tongues. Hey, I'm a tonguer. I like speaking in tongues. But that is initially different. I want you to understand something. I want to explain something to you. Because sometimes we get confused about this. And some people that don't know a thing about it, you're going to really be confused when this message is over. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, something proclaims that. The Holy Spirit gives utterance. He speaks as a confirmation that he has baptized you and he has filled you with his power. Amen? The Bible says in the same book that you will receive power. This is Jesus. You will see receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's talking and referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about salvation. He's the one that said you must be born again. You got to get that down first. Then he's willing to baptize you in his Holy Spirit, which gives you power. I don't know about you, but I could use a little power. Power to face whatever I got to face in this world and the challenges and the trials there. But I need a little bit of power to handle me. Anybody with me on that one? Or am I the only one confessing this morning? Apparently I am. Everybody else is already holy. But I'm confessing my weaknesses. But I need power to overcome my tendencies to sin. You see, I'm still a human being on this side of heaven, and I need some power to help me. Do you need power to help you? That's what he's talking about in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so when you receive that, you receive power. It's a glorious experience. I could share mine with you, but you need to receive your own. And I gave you an example of one of my friends, Raymond, receiving the baptism. That night he fell over. And I mean, I could delineate every step of the way to his receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's one of the dynamic ones I've experienced. And I've experienced a lot of them. And in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, talks about, I think it's 58th chapter or something like that. Anyway, talks about with stammering lips, I will speak to my people. That's not an exact quote, but you can look it up for yourself. But it's talking about those stammering lips. One time I was in Carson City, Nevada. And it may not be very exciting or important to you, but we were having a youth rally in Carson City, Nevada, in the Church of God there, and we were praying, a bunch of young people. And that, by the way, was when Vietnam was still going on, and we had a young soldier there that was about to be deployed, and so he was in church with us, and the Spirit of God came down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the Spirit of God came down? You begin to sense that, feel that, know that. This is God. Things are happening. They're happening in this church, and they're happening in me, and it's an awesome thing that's happening. And so this kid was just slain in the Spirit, and he's laying there in his uniform. And I begin to pray for him, and the Spirit spoke to me and uttered in me to speak to this kid, and I laid hands on his forehead. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Has anybody ever seen this? Am I talking to people who understand what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen when people, the Holy Spirit has come upon people, and they're in prayer like that, and their face starts to glow? Has anybody ever seen that? That's probably why they have those pictures in the Bible, those big old Bibles. I used to know a guy that carried those Bible, big old hunkin' Bible. It was the only Bible he had, so he'd carry that one to church. But in it had all those Michelangelo pictures and all that. And they always have this glow around them. And I actually literally saw this guy. It was like white, but it was like glowing. It was like light radiating off of his face. And I laid my hands on his forehead and began to pray as the Lord told me to pray. And I could see his lips. His lips were beginning to stammer. They were beginning to wave, and the next thing you know, he's speaking in tongues. Now, how do you teach somebody to speak in tongues when you don't even know what it is? I mean, I knew what it was. I'd been baptized, but the guy doesn't know. You don't just instantly start speaking Spanish or French or whatever, and that can happen. I've heard of that exact thing happening. But you know that language that he's speaking is a testimony. That's the Holy Spirit speaking out that I am now taking up my abode in power in this young man's life. Yeah. And when I get to heaven, I never saw him again. When I get to heaven, my hope is, and prayer is that took him right through Vietnam, right to heaven. Well, he may be still alive today, be as old as I am, but I want to see him in heaven and see how God took that and kept him alive or whatever. There's got to be a miracle involved in there. And so that is all the identifying thing. It identifies, the Holy Spirit speaks in you that he has taken up his abode and the power of God resides in you. In a different dynamic than salvation, completely different than salvation. And so I just want to share with you the difference in that. That is actually speaking in tongues, but it is the announcement that the Spirit has taken up his abode. And so if we tarry, we wait, we believe, we trust, we will experience the Holy Spirit if we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's four other references in the book of Acts when they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, throughout the book of Acts, whenever he talks about the Holy Spirit in any setting, just read through it if you want to, and in any setting that they're telling the story of, when they're referring to the Holy Spirit, they're referring to what happened at Pentecost. And the proof of that is when the Holy Spirit, Peter goes over to Cornelius' house. He's not even a Jew. See, up until this time, it's Jewish people getting all this. Hello? But at Cornelius' house, the Gentiles. I'm not Jewish, and I don't think many of you are, but then we were able to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what happened at Cornelius' house matched what took place at the day of Pentecost. And the reason you know that is because the people who were there and observed it said, hey, they have received, in fact, they had to report back to headquarters. You always got a headquarters you got to report back to. So as they sent back their reports, like I have to do every month, send back reports. They send back their reports. In fact, they go up there to Jerusalem and report back to the apostles that the Holy Spirit has fallen upon the Gentiles just like he has fallen upon us. The identifying thing was what? They spoke with other tongues that nobody understood except for God. And here's a good point for you that might help you. The interesting thing about speaking in tongues as far as this initial experience, and in fact it carries on because I want to talk about something in a second that's very important about your prayer life and your prayer language. I think that identification is part of how you have a prayer language. You pray in tongues. Has anybody ever prayed in tongues? Know what I'm talking about? Sounds like gibberish, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Blah, 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 blah. Buy a Honda, buy a Honda, buy a Honda. Whatever. It may sound like gibberish to you, but you that have experienced know what I'm talking about. He begins to utter syllables you can't even put it together in a sentence. And that's why when we get in a moment to talking about the gifts, I'll make the distinction. But here's something you need to know about speaking in tongues. You don't understand what it is. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, who is in you with power, is praying through you to the Father. And by the way, don't you think the Holy Spirit knows better how to pray for you than you do? Now, I know how to whine, and I know how to complain when I'm praying. I know how to tell God how he ought to do things, but he never listens to me. But when the Holy Spirit speaks through me, he tends to get things done better because he knows how to talk to God in his own language. Amen? So you don't understand it. And by the way, other people who hear you don't understand it because this is not the gift of tongues. This is being baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. So other people don't understand unless he actually speaks a language, and he's done that. But they don't understand. But here's an important thing. The devil does not understand it. Yeah, that's worth giving God praise for. So when you're praying in tongues, you're bypassing the enemy who wants to destroy everything positive in your Christian walk. Amen? And so I want to make that very clear because I want to also talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that God has planted in the church. And the reason I want to talk about this is some of y'all need to know about this. And I know, yeah, I know. If you're not interested in this, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a problem. I'm going to speak in tongues whether you do or not. Amen? That's not the point. The point is I'm offering you the understanding that there is power in your prayer when you pray through the Holy Spirit. Now, when that is a gift, like in the book of Corinthians that I mentioned a moment ago, it's different than the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. Gifts in the church are what the Holy Spirit places in people's lives to operate in them so that the whole church can be blessed. So people that don't know Jesus Christ, don't know how much he loves them, don't know that he died for them so that he could appease the penalty of death. You see, if we sin, the only appeasement of that is death. Without the shedding of blood, without your death, there's no way of appeasing God's judgment towards your sins. Am I confusing you? Let me put it a little better than this. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I can't even offer myself up as a sacrifice and fulfill the need necessary for God to forgive me. But Jesus Christ, the perfect man, sinless man, because he's fully God and fully man, he died on the cross. That death on the cross paid for my sins. It paid for my sins. Am I making sense now? And so by believing in him and giving my life to him, he forgives me of my sin, and all my sins are washed away. And I am forgiven before God, and he offers me a brand new life. Amen? But when his Spirit comes into us, he enhances everything that he has done in the act of regenerating you or giving you the born-again experience. And so we as Christians who are Spirit-filled have already begun to recognize our prayer life kicks up a notch. It becomes more powerful. You know it's more powerful because as you pray it, you sense the Holy Spirit rising up within you. And if you're filled with the Spirit, that becomes dynamic because it doesn't affect just you. If in the church God calls upon you to stand and pray, and it would be, by the way, we're heavy on decency and order, so if you're going to roll on the floor, you're going to roll in a straight line and not just go anywhere, because I don't want you running into other people who are rolling back and forth. Amen? You people are easy. You're just easy. But what you need to understand is that when the Holy Spirit begins to move on us, he may move on one person to speak in tongues. But in the operation of the Holy Spirit in the church, you need to understand something. It's not like me, prayer language. That's not the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit moving to minister to people. And you've been ministered to by the Holy Spirit this morning, probably don't even realize it. But when he has somebody speak in tongues in the church setting, he will have an interpreter so that everybody understands what you just said. Because he knows you don't understand God's language. Now, why is that so important to people? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just speaking on my own level, because I can't speak for you. I can't walk this Christian walk. I can't remain a Christian because I know how weak I am. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I had a hard time coming to church this morning. I just sitting there, there's snow all over my window, and I'm warming it up, and it won't warm up. I'm running the windows, I'm pushing the wiper and stuff. I was just getting tired of this. I'm just going to stay home. Until the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, hey, man, you better get yourself to church because you're the pastor, you know. But it was that close this morning. Were it not for the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I like about the Holy Spirit's moving in our midst, because some people who don't emphasize this, the Holy Spirit still moves in their midst. There's not a soul that comes to know Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit's there. Amen. And after we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, every time he uses us in the service, it is the Holy Spirit orchestrating the service. Some of you this morning may have come here needing delivered. You may have some things going in your life. You just need God to get you out of trouble. Amen? I don't know what everybody's... I'm just shooting examples out here. Maybe you've come with some kind of... I don't know. Maybe you're losing your business. Maybe it's going bankrupt. I don't know. Whatever issues you may be... What are the problems people have on earth? I don't care. Some of you here may be experiencing some of that. And suddenly God moves upon Chuck Kelly. And he stands and he gives a word of prophecy. That's one of the gifts. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge that only you know and only God knows. And yet this person who don't know you is speaking right to you. You know what I'm talking about? That only God does things like that. You can't do things like that unless you're a big gossip. And you know everything about everybody. You can't do that. So God has to know. So a word of knowledge is God giving you some knowledge about somebody's situation that only they and God know about. And so he may reveal that to you for what reason? To minister to their hearts. Christianity is not a passive religion, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is an active religion. It's a proactive religion. We're just not one of the major religions in the world. We're a religion where God's Holy Spirit shows up and makes himself real and does dynamic things in our lives. And when we're gathered together in church, he may speak to us on any one of those, out of any one of those gifts to us. But he's going to get the message to somebody that needs to hear the message, because God wants to speak to their heart. Why? Well, he loves them. And he wants the best for their lives. And if they're going through difficulties and hardships and troubles, he wants to help them out of those troubles. First step, salvation, obviously. You need to know Jesus Christ. Second step, you need the power to maintain that, because frankly, I have the tendency to sin. I mean, I don't, but I have the tendency. Anybody else with me? And so I need somebody to help me. And so what Jesus said one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit would be that he would lead me into all truth. Truth. That's why I say if you don't believe this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. But if you want power in your life, then test it. Try it. Try to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And when he does, you will know exactly what's happening to you. It's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. It does great things in your life, but it gives you power to overcome the enemy and power to overcome yourself. Enemy who? What? The enemy, Satan, who, by the way, doesn't understand tongues, as I mentioned a moment ago, makes it even better for you to speak in code to God so the devil can't get an edge on you. Amen? You do believe in the devil, don't you? Only one or two of us, so a couple, there are three or four of us, okay. So how do we beat him up? How do we get around him? How do we be preemptive if we don't know what he's doing? Who helps us? The Holy Spirit knows all of this. And so he helps us to pray preemptively so we can defeat the enemy in spiritual warfare by speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. And I want you to understand that, because it's not an odd thing, it's not a weird thing, it's not a crazy thing, except to people who don't know, don't understand, or don't believe in it. And I say that it's a distinctly different experience than your salvation experience, because there was 120 Christians in the upper room, and they received it. So what's that saying to us today? What is the gifts operating and the power of the Holy Spirit doing in our lives? Well, I think if you're going through a trial or trouble in your life, he's the one that shows you the path out of that. Hello? And he's the one that's able to speak right to your heart. He's able to minister right into your heart. And I know that this is an interesting subject that some people are just, avoid it. And I understand why churches don't emphasize it. Do you know how hard it is to handle? And that's why we only allow two or three at most in our church. You know how hard it is to handle if everybody's just jumped up, start speaking in tongues? Most of you, filled in the Spirit, would be afraid to do that. Hello? So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you need to get busy with your gifting and your tonguing. You need to get busy with your prayer life in the Holy Spirit. You would find so much more peace and so much power in your life that proactive praying would be an automatic thing. You would be praying in the Spirit who knows all things and is able to reveal all things, especially show you the things that God wants in your life. Now, that may not sound like a real cool thing right off the bat, but let me tell you what. The night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I wasn't even praying for myself. I was praying for other people. But the night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my life had already been turned around. I'd already received Christ, and my life was going in another direction. And by the way, all of my friends, all the friends that I had, I saved it when I was 18 and I was in high school. All the friends I had, and I had quite a few friends, all the friends I have, guess what they did? I never saw them again. They thought Connor had overdosed and it was all over for him. We're not hanging out with that guy. He's gone. And I was gone. I was doing crazy things, things that people, only Christians would understand, but people who were not Christians would not understand it unless the Holy Spirit was working on them. I can't tell you how many young people in my high school came through the church there in Reno. I can't tell you how many. There's so many of them. And we would have, every summer we'd have a youth revival, and there would be hundreds of kids that would come through the church. Marvelous miracles that would take place. And I've shared with most of you who've been here very long, you've heard every story I've got, but you're getting it again. I don't care. I've seen it. I've actually seen in the church service where I could not see Barb and Chad. You could see kind of objects out there in the pews, Because the cloud presence of God, the Shekinah glory, it's called Shekinah in the Old Testament. The Shekinah glory of God was in the room. And listen to me, we never said a word. We never preached. We never said it. We had sung a couple songs. And I've shared this so many times. I thought the furnace had, because we had the furnace blow up once and smoke came in the room, but this was not the same. This was gripping. This everybody in that church that night and the ones standing outside saw the glory of God, saw that smoke, that gray haze that filled the room. And with it became a gripping of our hearts. I was one of the young people leading and preaching, but nobody said anything. We never said a thing. We finished singing and this thing began to happen. And kids from all over, we didn't say, hey, come find Jesus, come receive Jesus Christ. Never said a word. And kids jumped up out of their seats and ran to the altar and asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. Didn't say a word, but the Holy Ghost had already been speaking in their hearts. And I've seen other marvelous miracles like that. People, I've seen them, and I've seen guys under the power of God bounce like a basketball on the floor. And I'm not talking, like they were just lifting and bouncing as God, and I don't know why God would want to show, I was a basketball player at the time, but I don't know why he'd show me that, but or why this young man had to experience it that way, but he experienced it, received Christ as his Savior. And he's just flopping around excited, and I don't know. I let people go on kind of things like that. You know, you get the ushers on something like that, and you're in trouble. You know what you do if you do something like that? I'm off task, aren't I? If you do something like that, you'll break the move of the Spirit right there. And that's why you want to be very careful, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants. Because he's speaking to people this morning. I mean, I'm talking just in generalities. But in specifics, you as a person will gain power in your life that you've never experienced if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those of you that speak in tongues, better get busy in speaking in your tongues. And I'll tell you why. We're at a place in history where I think God is doing a great work in our land. I'm not talking political or anything. I'm talking spiritual. And there are people that are becoming gaining insight and beginning to understand, and God is revealing himself to people, young people and others. And just like the book of Joel said, in the last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Not to see manifestations or see guys bounce on the floor. I'm just relating things as the Spirit, how these guys reacted to it. But what he is doing, he's doing something and getting us ready for the hour in which Jesus Christ, and I don't say that to be frightful or anything. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming for his church. And you become a part of the church by receiving Christ and asking him to come into your life. But those that have the power will be quickened. They'll be quickened. Your spirit is probably being quickened right now. And you're starting to remember days when we old guys, remember the days, and I'm telling you stories of the old days. But the truth is, he's still moving. He moved this morning already. When we were praying for people there, the Holy Spirit moved on them. And they sensed that, they felt that. You sensed it when you were worshiping. You sensed it when the power of God began to move as we started sharing this message, as convoluted as it may sound. But the interesting thing is, people of power need to stand up and exercise the power of God. You need to be praying in your spirit language, because I think you defeat the enemy in so many ways because he doesn't even know where you're coming from. But the Holy Spirit speaking through you will do dynamic things for you as a person, but your family, your immediate loved ones, and that will begin to feel the effect of God's residence in your heart and your life and the power. And in this church, we need that dynamic moving. We need this church to be alive and full of fire and full of power. We need the power of God to motivate us and guide us and give us the truth and the understanding we need. If you don't know any of this stuff, the best place to start is ask Jesus, show me if this guy's got any, making any sense or not. Show me if there's real power of God. Show me if you can deliver people from drugs or deliver people from bad situations or deliver people out of heartache and tragedy in their lives. And not only that, when you do that and bring them to a place of joy and power and strength and understanding of God, because God's alive and well on planet Earth wanting to do cool things in our life. Now, I don't seek experiences. I'm on the observation list. I'm watching for them. But I don't want to do things just to get an experience. I want to be in a position where the Holy Spirit is moving and I'm there to receive. Does that make sense? So if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come up here and everybody else in the church is going to come up and just throw their hands on top of you and begin to pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And they're going to shake you. Now, how many of you are enticed to I'm coming forward right now. That's what I want. But seriously, what I am encouraging you to do, I'll give you the exact truth here. If you are feeling drawn to even just find out more about it intellectually, if you're drawn to understand that, drawn to experience that, then I suggest you begin to ask Jesus Christ to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Or if you're not saved, ask Him to come into your life. But if you are saved, ask Him to fill you, baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. I assure you, you'll never be disappointed. I assure you, you will change in so many ways. Even as a Christian, you will change in so many ways in your life, and it will take on a dynamic that you really, really, really have been hungry for but didn't know what you were hungry for. Hello? Now, I know not everybody here wants to jump up and answer my request for prayer. I'm ready if you are. But I'm wiser than that. I know that it takes the Holy Spirit to draw you to any experience. But if you want to know God in a new way and have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I suggest you seek for it. Because that's what Jesus told the disciples to do. Go and tarry and be ready for the promise of the Father. Well, if the Father has promised it, it's for you. It's promised it to you. And so anybody that wants to, can seek that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He will baptize you. And when it happens, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome, and I encourage you to do it. If not, and you don't know Jesus Christ, or even if you do know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to intensify your prayer life. It's the power to successful living as a Christian. You overcome sin, you overcome difficulty, you overcome your own tendencies and become more like Jesus Christ. Could anybody use that? Yes. I could use being more like Christ. My biggest disappointments are when I fail the Lord, you know? And I don't do that on a regular basis, trust me. One of the reasons is I hate disappointing the Lord. Anybody with me? You know, in this church, you can say amen. There's no us. Well, Jim's back there, but he'll help you pray. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. This is supposed to be a Spirit-filled church. Glory to God. But we need to intensify our prayer life. Saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, or not. Because I think God is wanting to open up your heart to do things in your life that brings power, confidence, ability to overcome all kinds of things and be able to hear the Word of God and know that it's God speaking to you and obey Him. And some of you, I want to also encourage you before I close, I want to encourage you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you've spoken in tongues and all those manifestations are happening in your life, I want to encourage you to get up off your duff, and if the Lord's telling you to speak in tongues, speak in tongues. Would you do that? There's an interpreter here. Somebody will interpret what you say, so we'll all know what you were saying. But some of you have also been moved upon by the Holy Spirit to give a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. He's wanted to operate these gifts, and here's my gig. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of Spirit are operative in you, all of them. I know some people operate in others because they're more comfortable and they've been in it for a while. But they can be used by any one of those gifts. They can prophesy, speak in tongues, word of wisdom, work miracles. Absolutely the truth. And if you don't believe me, seek it out for yourself. Find out for yourself. And you'll discover you'll be just like the rest of us, doing things that we never thought we'd do. Speak in tongues. Oh, my word. I see nothing wrong with that, do you? Nothing wrong with baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm sad about is that so many churches today are not emphasizing that enough. I think it needs to be balanced. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fanatic. I don't chew on every chair, just one or two. I have them balanced in what I believe the Holy Spirit does. But I do believe the Holy Spirit needs to be unleashed in our church. I think it needs to be just poured out and forget about preaching, forget about anything. Just let the Holy Ghost do His thing. Amen? Anybody believe in that? So I think as we close this morning, I want to pray for you and I want you to pray with me. So let's stand together and we'll conclude the service. And I want to encourage you, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think you have a new commission from this day forth. If you attend this church, this is the new commission. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you must spend time in your prayer language. The Holy Spirit wants nothing more than to use you. And you know what I'm going to pray? I'm going to pray some of you are driving down the road on your way to work. Maybe you listen to, New Life Channel? What's a Positive Life Channel? I forget. I can't remember. Listen to Positive Life Channel. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to begin to speak with other tongues. So what, Connor? What? So what? They're speaking in gibberish. Who cares? Well, the effect of that's what I care about. What that's going to do for your life. What that's going to do to give you power to live victoriously and successfully. And if you've got problems in your life, God will intensify His help to get you through those problems. In fact, you will be proactive praying when you pray in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up, because this is the way you do it. You want to see things change in your life and your family's life? Let the Holy Ghost baptize you in fire. And surrender that. And I'm praying that you're driving down the road and you get pulled over and the guy looks at you and you're just speaking in tongues to him and he just lets you go because he don't understand a word you said. Amen. He'll just think you're crazy and let you go. But I'm praying that the Lord will unleash Himself upon you. And that's not a bad thing. I'm using extreme terms, but it's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But our church needs the power. And you need the power. And we need the power of God to keep us alive in Christ, but to deliver us from the things that are opposing us. Amen. Anybody up for that? Yes. Let me pray for you and pray with me as I pray for you. Father, we bless you this morning. We glorify you for your word and your promises. And this is the promise, that we tarry till we receive power from on high, from you, from God. And we want power in our lives. We want to be able to pray to you knowing we're being effective and effectual. And so, Father, I'm just praying today that you would fill your people with your Spirit, that you would introduce them to the things of God. And I know it's just not prayer and all those things. There's some awesome things being a Christian. And I want you to introduce us to more and more of what you want to reveal to us. But, Father, pour out your anointing. Let the Holy Ghost and fire fall upon this church. May we be known for a church that lets the Holy Spirit minister to us and has free reign in our lives, because there's power in knowing the Holy Ghost has filled me with His power. So, Father, I bless your people this morning. Pray for you to bless. In fact, I'm praying, Lord, while they're buying groceries this week or buying Christmas presents, I pray that you just cause them to start speaking in tongues right in the middle of Macy's. Lord, and just cause them to make a fool out of themselves so they'll stop worrying about this being made a fool of. It'll already be over with. They can just keep going. But Father, I really seriously pray that you will just give them the power they need that comes from on high, that makes us powerful Christians and causes us to be instruments in your hands of change and miracle things that you want to do in our lives. We bless you for it, and I just pray that blessing in your people's lives this morning. Let this church be set on fire in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. Can you give God a hand? Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.